Good evening. There was something very special that happened last week, and it didn't make it to the radio, didn't make it to the media. Almost no one knows about it. Never mind. Remind me a different class. Maybe we'll come back to it. Okay. So our class tonight is about secrets. Our class tonight is about secrets. The importance of secrets. Thank you. See, but I'm going to tell you, it's real. If I would have started a class with just something interesting, that's one thing. But once it becomes a secret, it's interesting. So I'm going to tell you a little tip. You want to tell your wife something, and you try, and she sidetracks. And you try again, and again the conversation sidetracks. So wait a few seconds, and then tell her, you know, there was something amazing. Never mind. What happened? You'll see her coming after you.
It's so torture. It's torture.
No, but I want us to understand what's going on here. It's not as simple as it sounds. It's not. And it breaks down into many components. We discussed last week the Midrash that Hashem says, should I create a woman from the eye? And Hashem says, no, then she'll be too curious. And then the Midrash says, okay, so Hashem didn't create her from the eye, but boy, is she still curious. So Hashem made women more curious than men. You know, you guys were all saying, no, but if I would go on, after about 2 seconds, your focus would shift and you'd move on with life. But for a woman, it's much harder. So this is a double-edged sword. Usually this comes up in the sense that women love to know a secret. Let me tell you something no one else knows. And that could be a big challenge to a woman because we have mitzvot of lashon hara. We're not supposed to talk things that we shouldn't be talking about. It could be a challenge to the husband also. You're going to be on the phone, and as you're talking on the phone, your wife is asking you questions. What did he say? And who are you talking to? And why did you say that? And it's very hard to concentrate. So this goes back to her nature to be more inquisitive. The flip side is that for women, information, sharing of information, especially personal information, is a sign of trust and love. And one of the things that men keep trying, having a hard time getting their head wrapped around is, how can I show her I love her? And we say our language, and they don't hear our language. We have to talk their language. One of the components of their language is sharing a secret. If you're going to tell her something that no one else knows, so then you've shown her you're special in my life. This doesn't come naturally to most men. Now, I have a rule when it comes to secrets. I always say, if you told your wife a secret, it's with the understanding, between you and me, don't tell her this, but it's with the understanding that she's going to tell someone. Okay? Don't get all annoyed when she tells someone, right? If you're going to interview for another job and you don't want your boss to hear, and then now that job is, she's standing in the women's section and she whispers to the lady next to her, don't tell anyone that my husband just went for an interview and your boss's wife is sitting just behind her. And then she comes home and she says, you won't believe what I just did. You really, you know, I was just telling one person, but she was turning purple. You know, your boss's wife, she literally turned purple. I hope she's alive. You have to say a parak of tilim for her. Oh, all you can think about is your job. You're not worried about your boss's wife who was purple and jewel tonight? Okay, don't get annoyed. You told her a secret. Well, she's going to share it. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't tell her a secret. Secrets build, especially with a woman, secrets build relationships. And that also means that you can create secrets. Let's say your parents are visiting. When your parents visit, you want to give them nachis, so you're going to read the haftara. So you can tell her, you know, I got the haftara, I spoke to the gabbai, but it's a secret, we're not going to tell anyone. The kids shouldn't know, no one should know, just you and me. You created a little secret. She did give it away, she didn't give it away. By creating a secret, you've just created something with her. Women appreciate secrets. So if we use this well, then we can build relationships. Again, for us men, it's not so much that way. If you tell me a secret, I don't think you love me so much just because you told me a secret. Like, okay, that's interesting. Let's move on with life, right? But for women, it's more than that. If you didn't tell her the secret, then you don't love her. And that's why it's better not to let a woman know that you're keeping a secret from her. If you don't want to tell her something, then try to make sure she doesn't know it exists. If you walk through the front door and you're all excited and she says, "What happened?" And you go, "It's just nothing." And she goes, "What do you mean nothing? Why are you so happy?" And you're thinking, I wasn't going to tell her. So you try to get out of it and it doesn't work. So now she thinks, "Oh, so you don't love me." And you're thinking, "What do you mean I don't love you? I just don't want to tell you." And she's thinking, "Well, if you loved me, you wouldn't want to tell me." So this is how women work. If you love me, you want to tell me. If I'm important in your life, you're going to share your secrets with me. If you don't share your secrets with me, well, then I guess you don't love me. It's a very simple formula on this one. So you have to think about it. Again, for us men, this isn't the way we work. For women, this is completely how they work. So I'm learning with my chavrusa. We've been learning for over 10 years now. And he calls me up 2 days before Yom Kippur. And he says to me, "Do you think my wife should fast this year?" So I go, "I don't know." And he goes, "Well, she's due in Mir Tzashem in a week. So if she'd give birth on Yom Kippur, that's not the..." I say, "She's due in a week. That's amazing. That's beautiful. Shabib Shah Tova." And then I get off the phone and my wife asks me, "You learn with him every night for 9 months, and he never told you his wife is expecting?" I go, "No." And my wife says, "But you guys are friends." And I say, "Right, but we learned Torah together. Why should he tell me his wife's expecting? What's in my business?" "What do you mean, you're friends?" Right? If it was a woman learning with a woman and she didn't tell her, that's it. It's over. Obviously, you're not my friend. How didn't you tell me? And with me and him, I mean, I don't know how many kids he's had, and Baruch Hashem, I've circumcised many of them. He never tells me. Why should he ever tell me? Why is it relevant? What's in my business? What do I care? I wish him well. Everything should go well. And when he has a child, I'm happy. I'm happy to see his kids. I like him, so I like his kids. But what difference does it make, right? That's male, female. So there was a man giving a class, and he divided the class into two groups. And each group had an assignment to do. The male group had an assignment. Their job was to learn the names of all the people in their group and to figure out what Gemara they were all learning this year. Try to memorize it. The female group had a responsibility to learn the names of the women in their group and to figure out what job each woman had. Okay? They had 3 minutes to find it out. Okay? They divide into two groups. One, two, fine. And then the guy goes to the male group and he goes, "Okay, what's your name?" "Ronen." "Fine. what's that guy's name? So he goes, Yosef Chaim. How many kids does he have? I don't know. That wasn't part of the assignment. That's not fair. Okay. What is he like doing in his free time? Excuse me, but you gave us one assignment. What Gemara is he learning? I know what Gemara he's learning. I don't know more than that. Excuse me. Okay. Yosef Chaim, what's his name?
Israel.
How many kids does Israel have?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. And this is how he goes around the group. Now, you guys have been together in class for how long?
4 months.
You don't know how many kids he has. He turns to the women's group. They had the same 3 minutes. He goes, tell me, the woman next to you, what's her name? Tells her. How many kids does she have? Tells him. What are her kids like? Oh, we've been discussing. She makes this for supper and that. Excuse me. They had the same 3 minutes as they had. How come the women know so much more about one another? Huh?
No. What does she want to do now?
Every woman knew so much more about every other woman. And this is true about classes too. My wife comes home when she goes to a class. She starts telling me about the woman sitting next to her. I get to hear stories. Wow. Yeah, they're never going to see one another again. My wife goes to classes with 400 or 500 women. You never get to sit next to the same woman again. But every week, it's another interesting woman, and I get to hear, like, wow, so much about him. What do I know about you guys? We meet 4 times a week for many hours. What do I know? Ronen has siblings. I have no clue. I don't know. Brothers, sisters, he's the eldest, he's the youngest, he's in the middle. And it's not just because I'm giving the class. Again, if I were a woman and he was a woman, we would know everything about one another. So women are interested in information. And this, in my humble opinion, is one of the things that we should learn from women. It is one of the strengths of women that we don't have. So their curiosity can sometimes be annoying. If we learn to work with it, then we can also build relationships through their curiosity and secrets. But if you look at the way women connect to one another, we can learn a lot from it. I'll give you an example. We live in Kochav Yaakov. A new Rav came to the Yishuv. Okay? Rabbi Sfez came to the Yishuv. And I noticed that wherever he'd go, he'd ask people their names. So in my mind, I thought, okay, he's the new rabbi on the block. He's asking everyone their names. And he's the rabbi of the whole Yishuv. So it's not like he only has to know one shul. He has to know everyone. He has to know all the children. Okay? I once sat with him in a meeting. And he said to me, you know, when I come into shul and I see a face I don't know, I walk over and I say, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? Where are you from? What are you doing here? What do you do for a living? I said, I talked to him for 3 minutes. I find out who it is. And he says, maybe you should do that too. So I was about to blurt out and say, that's not my way of doing things. And then I realized it's a mistake that that's not my way of doing things. Right? Classical male. We, like, hi.
I know.
Right? If we'll get to know one another, we'll get to know another. People can daven next to one another in shul for 10 years and know nothing about the other guy. It's fascinating. They daven next to another for 10 years and you know nothing about him. And then the guy disappears and you still know nothing about him. Is he alive? Is he dead? Anything. We had a student here that died 1 year. And no one knew where he lived. Now the guy was in my class for 5 years. We had no clue where he lived. Think about that. So, what? That's heavy, yeah.
It's an experience.
What?
Because everybody here lives in the dorms.
Because you guys are in dorms, he lived in the neighborhood. He lived in the neighborhood. We had no idea where he lived. Saying so, in this sense, we can learn from women. Meaning part of what happens in marriage is you ask yourself, why did God do this to me? Couldn't Hashem made it that men marry men? It would have been so much more simple. You have to marry a woman and it's so complicated. And you don't understand what's going on here. Why are we so different and I'm supposed to marry her? No. We're supposed to learn from them and they're supposed to learn from us. So when it comes to curiosity and secrets and information and the desire to know more and understand more, that is something which we all could learn from. And I'm challenging you guys now with something very practical. Why don't you try to get to know the guys in class? You will benefit so much from knowing where people come from. One of the most fascinating aspects of this job is that I get to hear about ghosts in the Philippines and in Ethiopia and in California. It is mind-boggling, the information you get to hear, the stories from Holland, from all over the world. I once started writing a book, anonymous, like not telling who people were, because the stories I've heard here over the years are just fascinating. Fascinating. What?
Still writing it?
No, I don't have time anymore. That's it. It's really fascinating stories. I didn't finish it. Yeah. Huh? Right. Right. But it's our... It's very, very interesting. No, it's very interesting. Think about it. I tell people Bosnia-Herzegovina, the only thing they think about it is the wars. I remember as a kid, CNN, you always saw it, Bosnia-Herzegovina, the wars. That's all you know about it. You know, I know someone from Bosnia-Herzegovina. It's like fascinating. Not only one person, by the way. I don't know if you know Relia Akrap, who used to learn here, also from Bosnia-Herzegovina. What? I don't know. I don't know. So... What?
You never asked him.
Right. So that's something which we can learn from them. Okay, so that's in terms of secrets, curiosity, sharing secrets, and information. And now we're going to start another topic, which is a little bit similar to the topic we were talking about until now. And it's a very powerful tool, which again helps us develop an aspect of our personality. We're going to do a quick experiment in class. Only those who want should participate. I'm going to ask a simple question, and every person will have 25 seconds to answer it, anyone who wants to, okay? The question is one question. Describe one thing that happened to you today that either made you happy or sad, you know, that affected you, okay? Whoever's ready should raise their hand. Give us 25-second description of something that happened to you today. Go ahead.
Today, I was going to dinner. Suddenly, it was burger. Burger is like amazing food, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, fair. I was also, yes. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have 25 seconds.
What? Okay.
Done.
He said everything he had to say. That's it. The end. Yes.
This morning, Ellen woke us up. Come on, Lions. We need to go to Shacharit. That made me laugh. And
it didn't make me happy, though.
Okay. Anyone else?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I went to my second interview today at the Rabbanut, and it went well.
Hashem. You guys are all men. You all passed the test. None of you could hit the 25-second mark. Now, I want to share with you something which is very meaningful to a woman, okay? We're going to start with story number one. I was on my way to dinner tonight. Now, every night I go to dinner, and we go down the same hallway, which is sometimes lit and sometimes dark. And when we go down the steps, sometimes the door is locked, and we could stand there waiting, and everyone's waiting, and you don't want to show how hungry you are, because, you know, you don't want to, you know. But you're hungry. You've been after a long day. You want to eat. And finally, they open the door, and you come in, and ordinarily, you never know what you're going to say. I don't want to say anything bad about the food at the Machon, but what happened tonight was different than any other night. I come in, and I see a hamburger. So I pinched myself first. I said, is it real? And then I sat down.
Yeah, man, we had the same
Right, we sat down, and you know, there were French fries too next to the hamburgers, and there was actually mustard on each table, and hot dogs too, right? And there was Pepsi too, that I didn't see, okay. RC, okay. We sat down, you should have heard the buzzing and the excitement, how excited everyone was around there. And we sat down to eat, and boy, you should have tasted those hamburgers. They made them, you could see the cooks were standing out there all excited. Guys, we made this food for you. They were excited. What did I do different than the story was told earlier? I added detail and detail and detail and detail. And those details are what women want.
And finishing boredom.
So to a man, that's boredom, but to a woman, that's fascinating. So we're going to take a classical scene in your life. You promised your wife you're going to be home at 6. And it might happen every so often that you're not there at 6. So what does the average husband do? He calls up and says, sorry, the bus didn't come. Sorry, I'm stuck in traffic. Whatever. And what does the average wife say? But you said you'd be here at 6. And the husband says, what do you want me to do about the traffic? So the husband made two mistakes, and then he's going to pay the price for those two mistakes. His first mistake was that he didn't go into detail. His second mistake was that he spoke about facts and not emotion. Okay? Facts and not emotion. Guys, facts and not emotion. So, he should have called home and said, honey, yeah, you can't imagine what it's like being on this bus right now. What happened? The bus is stuffy. We waited for 45 minutes and 3 buses didn't come. And by the time the bus came, you had 3 buses worth of people loading onto the bus. Now, of course, I'm a youngster, so I can't take a seat. I got to leave it for the pregnant ladies and the old people. So I'm standing here. But standing next to me are at least 4 people who haven't showered this week.
You're not saying that on the bus.
Oh, right. Shouldn't say that on the bus, right. Good point, Ronan. Good point. Okay. But you know, I'm not holding the phone right now. We're so squished, I just stuck it in between my head and the next guy. And the bus isn't moving. You should see what's going on in traffic here. In front of me is this old jalopy. Looks like it hasn't been washed since before I was born. I don't know how the driver can see through the windows. Notice how I'm talking details and emotion, and details and emotion. And you know what? Your wife is gonna love every second of it. Husbands wanna talk to their wives about their day. Wives want to hear details. The husband comes in and says, I want to tell you what happened today. So the wife goes, yeah, and then goes off on a tangent, and there goes the conversation. But if you would try sharing details with her and emotion with her, then she's very interested. Remember we said curiosity? Well, curiosity is also about details. And if we learn how to talk about details and emotions, then we're also developing a part of our own personality. As you all saw, all the men here were very male, which is good. It's fine. I went to the Beit Adin for the second time today, and finally it went well. Perfect male story. Thank you. To the point, he wasn't bored, we weren't bored, we're all happy for you. Bravo. Female story. I've been waiting. You know how my heart was palpitating? I sat out there thinking of all the months that have passed by as I was waiting for the second time for a second time. And I'm waiting, and the door is closed. And I wonder when it's going to open. And in the wind, it creaks a little open, a little closed. Every time it creaks a little open, I think they're going to call me in. And then it creaks a little closed again. And I'm standing there waiting. Are they going to call me in? Finally, they call me in. I walk in. There are 3 rabbis standing behind the desk. Long white beards. I think I'm standing before angels. And then they say, is this your name? And they point to the... But they don't talk English. You notice the details? To us men, that's like boring. Excuse me, tell that to the children. What are you doing? What do you want to tell me? Excuse me, your point is you went and you passed. Thank you, goodbye. Male. You're talking to a woman? That's not what you should be saying. Tell details. Emotions. Talk about how you felt waiting to come in, how you felt standing before them. Talk about it. No details and emotion. You guys are laughing. The women are laughing at you. You should know. The female listeners are wondering, why are these guys laughing? What's so funny about that story? You don't have to know any of this in order to date. You could go through all of married life like most men do and never figure out how to do this.
We laugh because you hit the nail with it. Come on.
No, that's the way we are. We're all male. I'm also a man. But we have to learn, and then we develop a part of our personality that's good to develop. It's a sensitivity, yes. It's fine. You can be male, but you're connecting to a woman. You have to talk on her language. She wants to hear details.
Do women do what you said, and guys get angry because we just want the woman to get to the point?
Right, for sure. That happens all the time. You come home, and your wife starts telling you a story. Honey, I have to tell you something. It was amazing today what happened at the supermarket. I was standing in line, and you know the heating was working over there overtime. It was hot. I didn't know why the heating was on. And the kids were making a ruckus in the wagon, and you're trying to figure out, what's she telling me? Like, what's your point? Get to the point. What's your point? What are you telling me? Details, 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 details. And that's fine. It's legitimate. We have to calm down and listen and say, really? Did the cart push comfortably, or was it one of those carts that gets stuck? And was it hot the whole time you were in the supermarket, or at some point did it get calmer? Were you with your coat in the supermarket, or did you take it off? Did you have a place to put it down in the wagon or not? Now you'll tell me, excuse me, do I care?
So are you pretending to be interested?
What?
Or pretending to be interested?
No, you are not pretending to be interested. You are learning to be interested in what interests her. You're not pretending. You're learning.
This is why we learn to be here.
Say that.